Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Episode 8 here, and we are talking to Chris Camilli. She is a wife, a mom of four, an author and a speaker, and a manager of a contributor site called Grace Table, which is a really, really great hospitality resource. But before we start that, I just wanted to thank you for being such an awesome community already. You are reviewing the show and telling your friends. And because of that, you guys, we've made the new and noteworthy section of iTunes. That's kind of a big deal because that's where iTunes promotes new podcasts and gives people a chance to find it that otherwise couldn't find it. And the only reason you get found on that is because people like you download it and tell your friends. So really, thank you. It's really encouraging. So keep telling your friends. Way to go. I wanted to read my favorite review from this week from Lisa O, 825. She says, "This is such a funny podcast. I love how real you are, and I'd love to hear more about your art adventures. I'm going part-time to be home with my kids more, and I would love to start a business. Thank you for your encouraging stories and for just being real." First of all, isn't it funny how much we all love when someone else is real, but we are afraid to be real? So I am so thankful that you like my realness, and I would encourage y'all to go out and be transparent and tell some other moms, you can do it. It's hard for me too. You probably will not believe how far that goes. And also, I'm hearing from several of you about wanting to know more about small business stuff, and thankfully, I have tons of mom friends who also manage to be artsy at the same time. In fact, I have two more episodes already recorded with small business owning moms, so stay tuned, Lisa. Okay, enough talking. Let's listen to my interview with Chris. Hi, Chris. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Emily. Thanks. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. My kids are in bed, I hope, and all is well with the world. We made it through another day.
Woohoo! That's success in my book.
I know, man. My husband's been out of town for 3 weeks.
That is hard.
I don't know how single moms do it. It's hard times.
It definitely gives you a new appreciation, for sure.
Oh my gosh. My mom was a single mom, and yeah, I do. She's shot up there in my book. Wow. She's amazing. So anyway, yeah, I can hardly limp through 3 weeks, and she did it for like 18 years.
Oh my gosh.
So amazing. Anyway, tell the readers about your readers. Who are listening. I hope you're not reading this. I don't know where you're reading this, but tell the listeners about yourself.
Okay.
About your family and everything.
My family. I have four kids. Okay. I am married to my high school sweetheart. We just celebrated our 16th anniversary married.
Oh my gosh.
We've been together for 20 years. We feel like old married people, you know. It's been a real blessing, but it's been a long time. So my kids, let's see, they are 11, 9, 7 and 5. My oldest two are boys, my younger two are girls. That's totally a gift because they have a built-in playmate. I'm like, this is perfect.
That's so good.
I couldn't have asked for it to work out like any better. It's amazing. And we homeschool, which is a whole other level of insanity.
It is with four. Oh my gosh. Right now I'm homeschooling one and we do it like half and half. She goes to school half the time and we homeschool half the time.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. Yeah, full on. We're part of a co-op, which helps, you know, give them a little different experience. But it's that is the job in itself. So And in between that, in my free time, I try to blog at chriscamilli.com and I manage gracetable.org, which is a contributor website focusing on hospitality.
I love that. I want to talk about that more. But first, I wanted to ask you, what was your first job? My first job was I worked at a tie-dye t-shirt shop, and not a lot of people can say they've done that, but it was really awesome.
That sounds way cooler than my first job. My first job was at a Wendy's, of all things. I smelled like a French fry box every day. It was awful.
Did you like Wendy's food before you started working there?
Yeah, I liked it. It was really, my parents didn't let me work when I was in high school.
Okay.
So all my friends who had jobs like early on, I wasn't allowed to work during high school. And so I was like 18 when I started working at Wendy's, and it was just to earn money for school. And it was definitely an experience. I mean, I think it gave me good, you know, good work experience, good life experience, but I did not like smelling like a greasy bucket every day.
Yeah. How long did you work there?
I feel like it was for, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe less than that.
Okay.
And then I started working at like a movie theater, which was way cooler, but way later nights, because we had to stay till all the movies were done. And oh my gosh.
And then you smell like popcorn.
And then I smelled like popcorn. So I couldn't get away from the smells of various things.
Right.
But there's definitely worse jobs out there. And it's okay.
I put myself through college working at coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
If you gotta smell like something, you might as well smell like coffee.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That sounds like a good thing to smell like.
It was pretty sweet. And all the coffee you could get.
Oh.
Loved it. I would highly recommend it if this whole homeschool thing doesn't work out.
Yeah, but if the whole blogging thing kind of crash and burn, just...
Yeah, just Starbucks, man.
Let's go to Starbucks.
So I wanted, you know, the podcast is called Mom Struggling Well. I imagine with four kids that you homeschool, you may or may not have had a struggle or two. I don't know.
What?
It's just a guess. Okay. Well, what would you classify as your biggest struggle with motherhood?
I only get one.
Just your top, like, what's the top one? We can be here all night, girl.
I was thinking about the fact that I have battled fear personally in my life.
Okay.
And I think I am wrestling with how I transfer that to my kids.
Okay.
And the struggle to let them, just let them experience different things. Like even things that I might think are dangerous or, and I'm not talking like crazy stupid things like, yeah, sure, go walk on the roof beam or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
Right. But
like things that, like one example I would give is sometimes when my little people, when we're taking a walk, they start running, of course, because they're kids.
Right.
And they start running on the sidewalk, which for me, it raises the level of anxiety as we're walking, because all I can see as they're running on, we have very uneven sidewalks because of tree roots.
Okay, yeah.
So if you're not watching, like you'll go down.
My daughter broke her arm like that. So I'm not trying to like feed the fear, but I'm just saying she knocked out.
Done. I'm totally done.
Sorry. She knocked out both her front teeth and broke her arm in one fall on a sidewalk. So
have mercy. Okay. So that's my fear. So I see them run and that's all I see as a mom in my head. I'm just like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to wipe out. Somebody's going to bust their face. Somebody's going to knock their teeth out. They're going to break their nose. Like it's so obnoxious, but I go through this, like, you know, just kind of holding my breath and like telling them, you know, slow down or watch where you're going. And I was kind of hearing myself in my head this evening, actually, because we took like a 3-mile walk yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how many times I probably said, watch where you're going, watch your step, slow down. And I just thought, man, when I run, which I'm sort of I have a love-hate relationship with running, but when I run outside, I run on the sidewalk. And I was thinking about the fact that when I go out there to run, like no one is telling me like, Chris, watch your step. Mm-hmm. Chris, pay attention. You're going to trip and fall. And I run. And to this day, knock on wood, I have not wiped out drastically on the sidewalk.
Right.
But when my kids are doing it, I just have this overwhelming fear. And it's not just that. It's like anything like that where I can see the potential for harm.
Right.
I wrestle with the fear of just letting them be kids, letting them do the things that they want to do and not kind of trying to put like a harness around it, but at the same time, like trying to protect them, you know, because that's my job. That's like my main job.
Yeah.
So it's really that is a real struggle for me.
Okay. Now I noticed that you mentioned part of your story was in third grade. Your third grade teacher, Mrs. Richardson, kind of got you started with writing.
Yes.
Right. Isn't that wonderful? I have a Miss Brackney was my teacher, like from first through sixth grade. I was kind of in the smart kids class, but I was like like the bottom of the barrel. Like, we all looked around and we were like, how'd Shrew get in here? I'm like, I don't know, dude, but I'm in here. So I had her like every once a week for 6 years. And like, that lady changed my life. So tell us about Miss Richardson and what she did for you.
Miss Richardson. I can still see her face when you say her name. That is so funny. It feels like 100 years ago too. I moved around a lot as a kid. My dad was in the military. And so we moved like every 2 years.
Wow.
And I feel like most of the time I adjusted fairly quickly to wherever we were. But the season of my life where I had Mrs. Richardson as a teacher was a particularly difficult place. I don't know if it was my age. I don't know if it was, you know, I'm not sure what all the factors were, but for whatever reason, that was the hard place for me to settle in. Mm-hmm. I just remember like the kids would go out to recess and I felt lost. I would go out there and I hated it. I hated, you know, being out there. I hated all the kids playing and there were some kids that were not nice. And I just felt like I would rather be anywhere than out on the playground.
Okay.
And I don't remember how it came about exactly, but I remember that she invited me to stay in and to sit at my desk and write while she was like grading and stuff. And it just became kind of a thing. And I don't know for how long I did it. I don't remember if it was like half a year or if it was really just a few weeks. I don't know. But I remember her invitation and how just that she saw me and that she saw that I needed something other than what everybody else was doing and that she was willing to, I mean, in a sense, kind of give up her free period because she wouldn't go out to the playground with us. Somebody else, you know, there were other people out there. So that was her time to like stay in the building and stay in her room. And so that she gave up that time for me to be present there is just such a generous thing. And I just, I mean, I don't even know, except it feels like, you know, when you kind of look back at your life as an adult and you can look back and you see those moments where, you know, God kind of intervened. I feel like it's one of those things where God just put her in my life at just the right time to offer me something that I wouldn't even fully grasp the value of until like being an adult, you know?
Wow. That's so special.
Yeah.
So what did she have you do?
I just wrote. There was a contest in the school, a writing contest. And I don't know if it was like, I submitted a story, but I remember part of the time I was working on that story and I remember showing it to her and she was helping me with it. And that's the story that I won second place for.
I love it.
So it's a fun thing, but I think I just wrote. I just wrote in my little journal. I mean, I have journals from when I was like 8.
Oh, wow. And you keep them all?
Yeah, I still have them all. I should burn them, but.
That's funny. Yeah, I have them, but I'm like, I don't even know if I should have this stuff around.
Yeah. At some point, I think I will have a very large bonfire.
But. That's funny. But that's really, it's wonderful to have from that far back.
Mm-hmm.
So she started you writing and then now you have this blog and I heard you speak at the Declare conference and I heard more of your kind of more recent story about platforms versus altars. And I think a lot of that would apply, you know, kind of specifically to the audience of the Declare conference who are kind of publicly having a platform or, you know, an online presence. But as I thought about it, I thought really your message could translate to anybody who is kind of doing a good thing for maybe not the best reason. You know what I'm saying? So could you talk about that story a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's been a journey for me. I always wanted to write. Writing's always been like in my bones. I think my mom wrote when I was a child and I think watching her and my grandmother wrote. And so it's in me. And so for me, that was my thing. I wanted to write and I really wanted to write for many reasons. But one of the main reasons was also for recognition. I wanted my work to be recognized in, you know, whatever starry lights I could get it into. And that's kind of it's so gross to say, and it feels really nasty, but that's the reality.
It's honest.
You know, I can sit here and say, no, I just wanted to write, you know, for the Lord. And I do want to write for the Lord, but that my intentions were kind of this muddy mix, which I think is pretty typical with humans. We can have really good intentions that can go kind of off the rails really quickly.
Yes.
And I think that's what mine was. I started off wanting to honor God with my words, but somewhere in kind of the rat race of blogging and publishing and all of this, it started to kind of morph into wanting just more than that, wanting more accolades and pats on the back and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so God just really, you know, like he does, he just kind of brought me low and reminded me of where my place is. And it was a deeply painful season, but it was a really beautiful season of refinement because my like everything has changed. It's one of those kind of touchstone moments. There's a before and there's an after.
So what happened? What was the moment?
Really, he just kind of put me on my face in my closet one day when I was praying. And it really was, I was literally on my face on the floor. He was speaking to my heart and I was kind of pushing back and I didn't want to hear what he had to say. And the verse that he took me to was the scripture in Matthew where he's talking about the Pharisees and how they want all the recognition for their prayers and for their deeds and and how the proper response is to go into, it was literally the scripture, go into your closet and pray privately. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, Lord, I hear you. And it was kind of just that moment where he was like, this is what I'm telling you. Like, this is where I want you. I want you in the dark. I want you willing to be low, 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 where no one can see you. And I want that to be good enough for you. And and it really, like, it was literally a life-changing kind of encounter with the Lord. And so from that point forward, that was like 3 years ago now, 2.5, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's just been this constant kind of undoing of that previous thought process and previous, you know, kind of weeding out your heart, like getting the trash out of there to say, I really don't want what I thought I wanted. I want what God wants. And it looks completely different. And it looks more like an altar instead of a platform, which is what I was kind of lunging for.
Absolutely. I think that that idea of enough in the like the hidden places, being a mom is so anonymous, you know? And I've really struggled with that over the years. I guess I thought this is so silly. We couldn't have kids for 6 years. So when we finally adopted our kiddos, I first of all thought I would be like super happy about it all the time because I wanted it so bad, which is so naive. It's like thinking that marriage is going to solve your problems. Then I also thought, like, I'm keeping these guys alive, so they're going to be really thankful. And so when like they weren't thankful, they were just like being themselves and throwing fits. And, you know, they're really good kids, but they're still people, right? And I don't know. I just started thinking like, oh my gosh, this is so anonymous and you're so not, I can't even like make you happy when I try. Like, I can understand why I turned to outside things because I would get some recognition. People would say, oh, you're good at that. Instead of like, I hate that turkey. Your chicken's too dry. I don't want to eat grapes again. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. You can tell most of my problems surrounding food and my children.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh my goodness. So I don't know. I just, I love the idea of it's a very subtle shift from a platform to an altar, but the trajectory is widely different.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think that motherhood is, it's a humbling place all of its own. You know what I mean? It's just such a hard thing. And you don't, there is like no recognition. I mean, I don't mean that in a, like a derogatory sense, but you know, no one's going to come and give you a super award and tell you, you know, we want to take you to the Ritz in New York and put you on TV because you're a mom, you know? Like, it's not going to happen. And so it is kind of a quiet, hard work. Not quiet because kids are not quiet, but you know what I mean? Like a heart. Yeah. It's a quiet heart space that you have to kind of just learn to surrender over and over again because like nothing goes the way you think it's going to go.
No, it is refining. And I'm not proud of it, but I've spent a lot of my mothering trying to kind of push against it refining me. I will control more. I will plan better. I will, you know, I won't be changed. They'll be changed. And that's just, it's not working.
Yeah. It's hard though. I think that's kind of how I had come at it too. And I'm still learning. I mean, my gosh, my kids are still young and I just keep praying like, Lord, please let there be grace for all the screw ups that I've done because I do want to control and I do want it to be a certain way and I don't want my kids to publicly humiliate me like they do sometimes and I don't want this and that. And God just continues to remind me like, hey, this really isn't about you all the time, you know? And it's just a hard humbling to go, yeah, you're right. This is about them and trying to steward, you know, their lives. It's a big responsibility.
It is. So you're talking about, so your first project you said was like a book right? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Were they both books?
I did a self-published book, and then I published a year later a companion workbook for it.
Okay. And I'll put those in the show notes. That's the Holy, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you did those, and then was the closet moment, yes?
The closet moment was before the book.
The closet
moment was sort of the pinnacle that set everything. It was like that, like the cork that needed to be popped before everything could flow. You know what I mean?
I love it. Okay. Okay. And then you do a retreat. Are you doing it again?
I am not doing it again right now. I've never, kind of shut the door entirely on it, but it was such a God-ordained thing that I've really just said, okay, Lord, if you want me to do it again, you're going to have to tell me, because I'm not going to touch it unless you come down here and tell me to do
right.
it. Because he orchestrated every tiny detail of that weekend that it still just kind of blows my mind. So I just don't want to tamper with it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, okay. So you're talking a lot about, God speaking to your heart. And I think not everybody understands, what is that even? How do you get to where you hear him? Like, how do you make time for hearing him when you have four kids who homeschool? Like, they don't even like go away. You know what I mean?
No,
like, they're there.
Anywhere. If anything, they're always just coming around.
Yeah. So how do you create that quiet?
Well, that's a good question. I get up fairly early, usually. My husband, if he was here listening right now, would be snickering in the background. But I try to get up between 5 and 5:30. Okay. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's closer to 6 or 6:30. Thankfully, my kids are starting to sleep in a little bit. But that's usually the first thing I do. So I get up and I go grab my coffee, stat, because that's mission critical.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And I've been going down to the couch. When it's nice outside, which it has been, I sometimes go out and sit on the back patio.
Okay.
With my coffee.
Where are you at? What state are you in?
Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's certainly, we're into the cooler mornings and evenings now already.
Nice.
But
okay.
I just go early in the morning, and that's really my time. And if I don't do that, number one, my day usually, like, it just starts on the wrong foot. I really need that time. I need that space. And number two, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it's a good chance I won't get to it at all during the day.
Yeah.
And it happens. I mean, my gosh, there's plenty of days where I miss and I just think, I'm going to do this later. And then I go to bed and I never do. So, but that's always my goal. First thing in the morning, spend it with the Lord. And a couple years ago, I had a kind of like a spiritual mentor who introduced me to the idea of really just learning to sit quietly with the Lord.
Okay.
Which was completely foreign to me. I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You know?
Yeah. Now, what was their terms? How do you do that?
She said, just start with like 5 minutes. She said, just, take 5 minutes and sit down and be quiet and just tell the Lord you're there and you're listening and just wait. And I was, at first I was kind of like, well, what am I waiting for? Like, is he going to come and like, sit down and we're going to start really chatting or what?
Okay.
And, she was like, just practice sitting quietly and listening. And so that is like painful for me because I'm an in motion kind of person.
Yeah.
And so that was really challenging. But I started doing it, and at that time I was doing it kind of in the middle of the day because that's the only time I could do it. And a couple times I would doze off and I would like take a snooze. And I talked to her about it and I was like, this is kind of probably not what you meant, right? Like a nap during my quiet.
But man, I'm so refreshed.
Woo. But she said, that's exactly the point. She said, when you're spending time with the Lord, if you sit quietly with him and you are relaxed and you rest, that, the Bible says rest is a gift and sleep is a gift. And so if God, he sees you and he knows you're tired. I mean, we're moms, right? We've got kids everywhere. And
coming out of our ears.
Yeah. So if I sit down and fall asleep, like, it's okay, And it was just it really turned how I look at, that time that I spend with the Lord. It kind of turned it around and showed me that other side of God that, for me personally, I struggle to accept the more like tender, loving side of God.
Yeah,
I don't, that's a whole other story in and of itself, but that's been a hard place for me to really come to enjoy and appreciate that about the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just opened that side of him up to me to go, oh yeah, like if I'm sitting with my dad, God, and I fall asleep while I'm sitting with him, is he mad? Is he like, why aren't you praying? No.
Yeah, like disappointed and...
Right. Yeah. Like he knows me and he knows my human limitations. Mm-hmm. And so it just became kind of this practice of just learning to... And I didn't, you know, I don't always fall asleep now when I do it.
Good.
I know that I have the freedom to, which is something right. that I needed someone to say, hey, you have the freedom to do this.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I do sometimes think like I'll sit down and... But I maybe like 30 minutes after when I had set my alarm for. So I think almost like God's like, you know, tapping his fingers and looking at his watch like,
right.
you set your alarm for 6, you know, yeah. but he's mm-hmm. not. He's
not. No. And one other thing I wanted to add when you were talking about how do you listen for the Lord? I really mm-hmm. think scripture is a huge component. I am reading right now. I'm using a chronological reading plan.
Okay.
And I really believe that if you're not reading your Bible, you are not going to recognize the voice of God. Mm. I really believe that because when you read scripture, you hear him. You hear him, you see him, mm. you get to know him. And you need that if you want to be listening for him. How can you hear him if you don't know what he sounds like? You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And I can't believe, like sometimes, honestly, it is hard to just sit down and read, you know, the Bible. It's just everybody who's honest will say that sometimes it's.
Right.
But I think that I am consistently amazed at how often that's the very thing I needed to encourage someone with that day, or heavens, that I needed to remember myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And you think, like, how could you find something so amazing out of these random books and it applies to my lunch date with my friend, you know? It's mm-hmm. amazing. God is really... He's kind of really good at being God, right?
Yeah, he's so present in it. And that's what I love about it is that if you make time to meet with him, whatever it looks like, if it's 5 minutes, if it's, you know, you're half asleep, whatever it looks like, I just believe that when you make time, like he meets you there and it's enough. Whatever it is, it's enough. He makes it enough.
And that's, I just even need to hear that because I do feel like, oh man, I only sat here for, you know, this amount of time. I should have sat here for a more amount of time. That it isn't enough. Like, I don't feel like I ever, I know in my mind, but I struggle to feel like what I'm doing for the Lord is enough. And, you know, it's works-based. I understand that it's totally wrong. I totally know that it's jacked up, but enough is a good thing. I need to realize, like, I came, I listened, I read, I want to please you. That's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, even there's even space for you to come when you don't want to read, you know, because there's been plenty of mornings where I'm like, oh my gosh, I just don't want to do this right now. I need to go start a wash or I would so much rather be sleeping again or whatever. And I feel like, you know, God is so good and generous to meet us even when our attitude is maybe not quite what it needs to be, that even that's okay. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to come all shiny and perfect. Like, okay, I'm so excited about this reading through Jeremiah.
Woo! I love Leviticus.
Yes, Judges, my favorite.
Yeah, totally. I love that. Speaking of grace, I do want to talk about Grace Table and what you're doing there. I wanted to read, you probably know it because you probably wrote it, but what it says about Grace Table on the website, that is yours. But I just love it. It says, you guys are storytellers who love food. We're chefs, short order cooks, soup stirrers, and birthday cake makers. We make gourmet breakfasts and serve cereal for dinner. Holla. Yep. Yeah. Come, we've saved you a seat. I love that. It's so inclusive and community, and it hits everybody. Like, short order cooks, yes, that's what a mom is. Birthday cake makers, totally. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I love that too, because I think there's such an emphasis in our current society for everything to be like over the top, you know, with Pinterest, the world of Pinterest, yes. Everything is so obnoxiously perfect that it's mm-hmm. unattainable. And I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure that you have to be some kind of hospitality guru to find space there. And I really want my vision for Grace Table, what I feel like the vision God's given me is that it is not that space. We do use really beautiful images there, but it isn't because we necessarily think that everything is supposed to be picture perfect, because that's not real. And we want people to feel like the stories that are shared at Grace Table are messy. Some of them are hard. Some of them are awkward or uncomfortable, but they're the experience of, you know, sharing hospitality and being on the receiving end of hospitality. For some of us, that's harder than giving it, is to receive it. And so
absolutely.
that's really what Grace Table is. It's just a space where people share their imperfect stories about trying to live out biblical hospitality, which isn't baking perfect cakes or, you know, hosting fabulous dinner parties, but it's really just about loving your neighbors. And that includes the ones that, you know, tick you off or whatever. You know, it's everybody. You're supposed to love everybody the way Jesus loves them. And so these are just, it's just a space for those stories. And as you can imagine, some of those stories are not easy to write or read, but there's so much beauty there. I'm just stunned to be a part of that community. It's really nice.
That's great. And so you write there and other people write there.
Yeah, I have 20, I feel like I have 20 contributors right now. I have to go back and count. Yeah.
That's a lot to manage. Do you find that it's a lot?
It's crazy town. I'm not going to lie. It is crazy town. It is when the idea came for Grace Table, I was kind of like, well, I was intimidated at first because I'd never done anything like that. And I was like, I don't know how to do any of this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I felt like God said, well, that's okay. I do. So you can do it.
Super. I love that.
I was like, all right. So, you know, I kind of jumped in, you know, full throttle, but I did not imagine the workload that goes into running a contributor site like that. I had no clue. Okay. I'm very much a rose-colored glasses kind of girl. Mm-hmm. And so everything seems possible. Everything is possible. We can do anything, you know,
right?
Until the reality hits and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is really hard.
Yeah. Okay. And you've been doing that for how long?
It'll be a year in November.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We're coming up on our birthday. It's going to be fun. We're going to have some giveaways and stuff, but it's a labor of love. I love it. And that's the thing. And I feel called to it. There's no way I would sink the amount of time and money and effort into something that I did not believe God had called me to. Absolutely. And that's really what it comes down to, is that it's a labor of love. I love that space. I love what God is doing there. And I don't mind, you know, putting in the effort. So when I say it's hard, I'm not complaining. It's just, that's the truth. It's hard.
Right.
But it's a
gift. When do you squeeze that time? Like, when do you do it?
All kinds of crazy hours. Sometimes early in the morning after I've done my quiet time, I can get on here if my kids are not totally up and moving yet. Or most of the time, most commonly, it's in the middle of the day because I do homeschool and I've got four little hooligans running around. Uh-huh. We take what I call a quiet time, and that is a two-hour break in our day where everyone is separated and sent to the four corners of the house.
Yeah.
And I don't mean literal corners. I don't punish them for 2 hours.
No, I get it. I didn't.
But maybe, no.
It depends on how the morning was.
Right. Yeah, that's it. No, it just means everybody, like my boys share a room and my girls share a room, okay. But during quiet time, everybody has to be split up. And it's just time for them to kind of foster their own creativity, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of, well, you should do it this way, and I think you should do this.
Oh my
goodness, yes. You know, so it just gives them an opportunity to play by themselves, to imagine their own stuff and not have somebody telling them how to talk or how to make that Barbie wear her hair or whatever. Yes. And it's good for them and it's good for me because that's when I work. And they know that. They're old enough now that I tell them, hey, you got to go have your quiet time. I got to go to work. And I shut my door. My office is in the corner of my bedroom. And so I just shut my door and I come in here and I work like crazy for 2 hours. And then we reconvene as a family and do our thing. So
my daughter was two when she came to live with us. She was our foster daughter. And the CPS worker said, like, this is her schedule. Keep her on this schedule. Well, and she was two. And so she did. She had like a 2 hour break in the middle of the day. And it's been 5 years. And I like, not because of CPS or because of what she said, but I just found like that gave so much shape to our day that I have not let go of that. And I won't, because I do. Like, I'm a better mom if we take 2 hours off. And so there's, I mean, the house would like have to like flood. Mm-hmm. There'd have to be some kind of natural disaster for us to not have that break, because wow, it makes such a difference to me, and I think to them, but definitely to me, and I'm the one running the show, so I need a break.
Yeah, you need it. I think it's a sanity saver. I tell my kids, I'm like, this is so that I don't, you know, like eat one of you before dinner. You know, we need this time. This is very special time because we do spend a tremendous amount of time together, and they spend a tremendous amount of time together, and I love that because they really are friends, but, you know, everybody needs a little quiet for their own thoughts. And people, I think some of my friends used to think I was like crazy because when they were all much smaller, literally, like I would not leave the house. I would not schedule anything during that time. I mean, it was like, oh, nope, it runs at, it's 1 o'clock. Nope, we're not going to go because we have quiet time. And they'd be like, seriously, can't you skip it? And I'm like, nope, we cannot, you know?
Gotta be kidding. Yeah, are you taking the kids for the rest of the afternoon? Because yeah. I can't handle this if I don't get it. No, I hear you. All my friends are like, okay, so after naps, can they come? And nobody's sleeping now, you know, but if I wanted to, I could, because they know.
That's right.
It's just important. I love that. So many people don't do that. I love that you do that too. When my husband and I lived in China for 3 years, and everybody does that in China. Like the whole country goes to sleep for 2 hours. And I had not like started practicing that yet. And so that's when I'm like, okay, so it's lunchtime. I'm going to do all my errands. I'm going to call everybody. I woke up so many Chinese people. Every single day. And they're all like, because they're very polite culture. They would answer, but they'd be like, dude, we are sleeping. The Chinese are sleeping. Please don't call us.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
So funny. Anyway, so yay, quiet time.
Yes, I'm all for it.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
And I just want to know, what are you loving like right now? Anything? Mm-hmm. A product, like my favorite thing right now? Do you like how I ask a question and then I answer?
Yeah,
can you tell
I
me new at podcasting?
Yeah,
okay, yours? So this sounds ridiculous to be this excited about a blender, but I got a Vitamix. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, well, you would appreciate that. You cook.
Yeah.
This thing, first of all, it's red, and I've never wanted to call a blender sexy, but this is a sexy red Ooh. Blender that I've got going. I don't ever even use that word. Like, I feel dirty using it right now.
Go watch, Emily.
But, yeah, watch it. Anyway, but let me let you know that... this blender is fantastic. I use it like 3 times a day and I'm so excited. So that's what I'm loving right now.
It's awesome. I think for me, I got to say it's books. Right now, my husband gave me an Amazon gift card for my birthday, which to him is like the worst birthday present ever. But to me, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I was so excited. So
is it that he doesn't want to give you a gift card, or is it that he doesn't want to give you one to Amazon?
No, it's that like he knows that I'm going to buy books. And to him, that's like, he's not a book person. How that happened, I don't even know. But he's not a book person. And I just ordered 14 books. And starting to trickle in. I got a big stack today. And I was just
like, I saw that on your Instagram
page. Oh my gosh. I'm just reading kind of like a ravenous, like a word-starved animal right now. It's crazy.
So what is your favorite one right now?
Right now, I'm reading a book on memoir writing, which is, I'm trying to find it. I have it here somewhere and I'm totally blanking on the name, but I think it's called Handling the Truth. And I don't remember the author's name off the top of my head, but it is beautiful. And it's just, I'm getting ready to teach 2 writing classes at our co-op. And so in preparation, I was like, I really should be reading some books about writing if I'm getting ready to teach these classes. So
hey, yeah.
So I grabbed this one because it's been on my shelf for like 1.5 years and I haven't had time to read it. But I'm just devouring it. And last weekend, I sat outside on Sunday and I read an entire book. And so I'm just like books right now, all kinds of books. I'm just stuffing them in. And so books are my favorite thing right now, I think.
I went and got The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. I should read more, but I had an Etsy shop. I still have an Etsy shop, but I'm not taking any custom orders. And when I was taking custom orders, I was just so busy that I couldn't read. I couldn't I don't know. I couldn't do anything, which I loved that. But then eventually you love it a little bit less because wow, it took a lot of time. So I'm excited to sit down and read a book. So anyway.
Yeah. Do you like fiction? Do you read fiction?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I like all kinds. I feel like reading about heroes of our faith really helps me be grounded. I don't know, just to realize they went through struggles that are so much harder than the struggles I'm going through. And this is how they did it. And they did it with grace. And the Lord provided. The Lord met them. He was faithful. He will be faithful to me and my teeny tiny struggles. You know, I don't know. It gives me perspective.
Have you seen the YWAM series?
No.
Christian heroes? Oh my gosh. You need to go look that up. YWAM has an entire series on Christian heroes. And we have almost all of them, I think, courtesy of my mother-in-law.
Okay.
God bless her. And they have everyone, like Corrie Ten Boom, C.S. Lewis.
It's called Christian Heroes.
Christian Heroes, I think. Just look up YWAM Publishing and you'll see. And it's just like a giant set of all these. And they're meant for kids too. So we read as read alouds. And so they're perfect for that kind of thing. Like if you do that with your kids.
Yeah. Because
you know, then my kids are inspired, I'm inspired, and we're like, these are the coolest people ever. And the stories are so good.
I love that. That's so important. It's so important to know about those stories. My son, and I get it. There's nothing wrong with loving Spider-Man with all your heart and soul and mind. But let's love some other people too, you know? So...
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think stories about, you know, people who have, particularly people who've suffered for their faith. Mm-hmm. I think there's something deeply grounding in those stories that just kind of draw you back to the gospel and draw you back to looking at what it is God does for us, you know, because mm-hmm. in our American culture, I don't think we're not really tested in the ways that some people are.
No.
And, you know, we have our trials, and I don't really like to compare suffering because everybody's suffering is relative to them, you know.
Certainly.
I mean, so I don't like to, you know, make comparisons like that. But the truth is there are people who really know what it is to surrender all to the Lord mm-hmm. and for it to be very costly for them. And I think when you read those stories, there's just something deeply grounding in that that draws you back and reminds you, like, hey, you know, this is what you're called to. Mm-hmm. And it could turn really hard and really ugly. And you might not know that, you know, you might not see it coming, but God is still with you and he will still carry you. And who doesn't need that reminder?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, my gosh.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I love it. I'm looking those up. I'll put them in the show notes for everybody. They can look at them too. So, well, Chris, yeah. It was so nice to talk to you today.
It was great talking to you. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I will let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. Is Grace Table something that people can write? They can like submit stuff to you? Like if anybody out there is like, oh my gosh, I have an amazing story and I'm an amazing writer.
Yeah, we have there's a link on the page for writer submissions for guest posts, and there's our emails there, and they can see kind of, you know, what we look at and try to submit something there. We don't necessarily publish everything that gets submitted, but we try to find a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't, but we do try to find a spot for the stuff that really is a good fit. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. We covered a lot of great stuff in 35 minutes, right? I love how she addressed some muddy intentions that God revealed in her life. I think if we were to sit and have a look, we would find some of those in our own lives. Things we say we're doing for God's glory, but it actually is kind of for our own. I really have thought a lot about the freedom that she expressed during her quiet times with God. I love how she said, just show up for it, whatever it is, however long it is, whatever the state of your heart, it will be enough because he makes it enough. My strategy to struggle well this week is based on what she said, to incorporate 5 minutes of listening into my morning devotional time. I'm going to set a timer on my phone so that I'm not constantly looking at a clock and just listen. I know that for people who are new to this whole spending time with God thing, that must sound weird and like a bunch of hocus pocus, and I get that, and that is okay. I want to encourage you that God made you. He knows how to talk to you. And even though I know that, I don't listen. I don't sit and listen. So that is something that struck me from this interview, and I really want to incorporate that this week. What about you? I encourage you to incorporate something that she said into your mothering this week. She mentioned fear being her mom's struggle and that she transfers those onto her kids sometimes. Maybe you sit and consider if that's something you're unknowingly doing as well. Maybe you can look into the resources she mentioned at the end for sharing the heroes of the faith with our kids. As with every episode, please head over to momstrugglingwell.com to find the show notes with links to find Chris and all of the items that we discussed. I am praying for you, ladies, and I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.